Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Want to get no punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with Paul Dottino on this Wednesday afternoon. A lot of people like to call it hump day.
I don't know why.
Because it's the middle of the week. You're getting over the hump. And then, of course, Thursdays. Thursday's a fun night, actually, to go out, get ready for Friday. Friday's like a, especially as we're getting closer to the spring and the summer up here in New York City, a lot of people don't really work on Friday or maybe have half a day on Friday. So you're getting closer to that weekend. That's why they call it hump day, Paul.
Yeah, but you see, folks like us who bust our cans on the weekends because that's what we do and work a lot on the weekends, I don't run by the regular Monday to Friday schedule that most people do.
No, I don't either. But still, the majority of our country does. And so they call Wednesday hump day.
Enjoy your hump day, folks.
So, again, you're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and, of course, as always, you Giants fans. Phone lines are open for the next hour. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Also, both of us will be monitoring Twitter. We get it that it's April Fool's Day today. Please, no crazy jokes. No Eli Manning's been traded. No Odell Beckham Jr. is considering retirement. No.
I was going to break news here that I've been appointed the Giants' new assistant general manager.
Yeah.
And have a lot of influence on this first-round draft choice. But I don't know if anybody would believe me.
No, I don't think so.
It was worth a shot.
So, anyway, so just behave on Twitter today, please. But we'll be monitoring Twitter. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat, and we will share your tweets on the show, whether they're questions, comments. And, of course, we're going to continue to talk draft, why not, all the way up until the last Thursday in April.
Yeah.
Taking place in Chicago. And a big question mark in regard to who the Giants are going to take. So phone lines are open. Obviously, you've got some questions, comments. Those mock drafts, last time I was on with Paul, was it Monday, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Feels like an eternity ago.
I'll take that as a compliment.
But we were going through some of the mock drafts out there. And, of course, They're all different. But a really big thing that took place yesterday, and not that it really has any bearing on the Giants, and that is Jameis Winston's pro day at FSU.
Big deal.
So a big deal. ESPN broadcasted live. I was actually home working. I had it on. I was watching. I'm assuming you watched or you saw some video.
Recorded it and watched it.
A lot of people feel that Jameis Winston's going to go number one overall to the Tampa Bay Bucks. Paul, first and foremost, since you're the new appointed GM of the New York Football Giants, what's your thought? What's your take on his pro day?
Well, I have a quarterback already.
No, I know. I just that's why I prefaced and said really, no consequence to the Giants. But I mean, you know, I do find that this is going to be interesting because there's a lot of off the field issues. Many feel that he's the best quarterback coming out in the draft. Some would argue if he's the best player coming out in the draft. Should the Tampa Bay Bucks take him with the number one pick? What did you see yesterday? What impressed you? What did not?
I'll give you a quick thumbnail of what I like and what I don't like.
Great.
Okay? I love the fact that he can make all the throws. He clearly is a very gifted athlete who can make every throw that you could possibly ask a quarterback to make. He can do it with touch. He can do it with power. He could do it, throw perfect spirals that, you know, just lay exactly where they got to be. There are other problems here. And I understand that he's got a real good football mentality. He studies. He probably will do a pretty good job with the schemes. But there were a couple of things that I thought I saw yesterday that I think some of his critics still saw. There are some folks who just want to gloss over and say he did great yesterday and he was phenomenal.
I don't know. The majority of analysts who were there, from draft experts to former quarterbacks who now work on ESPN, And some of the experts on the NFL network all gave him a B. No one gave him an A, A plus.
Okay.
Paul.
All right. Well,
no, I don't. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. If you heard somebody give him an A and A plus, I did not. I'm hearing more B, B minus.
The Associated Press gave him this glowing review, made him sound like he's the next coming of the greatest quarterback who's ever walked the face of the earth. It was a writer, who put it out on the AP wire, and I'm forgetting his name, and I apologize. But he was the one who just totally glowed over and said that it was a total home run grand slam for Winston. I didn't see that. What I saw was a guy who still has mechanical issues, okay? I don't like the way he winds up and throws the ball. He's a very big, long kind of guy. I think that pass rushers who get to him quickly are going to cause him some issues. I don't think, and look, Anita, we've all enjoyed fantasizing about making that 30, 40-yard pass downfield that goes exactly where it's supposed to be, where it's supposed to hit the top of a pin, where the accuracy is just pinpoint. I don't see that with him, especially early in his workout. Now, you watched the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Earlier in his workout, how many times when the ball needs to be right here, it was here? It was 5 or 6 inches off where it needs to be.
Okay, but let me defend him for a second, and this is a big deal because I don't normally defend this guy.
Okay.
Okay, but let me defend him. And his name escapes me. The quarterback guru that he's been working with since. George Whitfield.
Yeah, he keeps calling him George.
George Whitfield.
I don't know his last name, but yeah.
Okay, well, he was chasing after him with a broom the whole time.
Oh yeah, just like Johnny Football last year.
This wasn't your two things. This wasn't your normal pro day. What they wanted to do is they wanted to show, in regard to what I heard, they wanted to show what Jameis Winston has improved on. And the biggest knock on him is that he loses his accuracy outside the pocket.
Right.
And so you saw a lot of rolling out. You mm-hmm. saw George with that broom. And so it wasn't kind of like, well, let's showcase all that Jameis Winston does well that you already have on tape at FSU. From what I understand, the idea of this pro day was to get him out of his element, get him out of his comfort zone, and to show the scouts out there how much he's improved in the work that he's put in with this Whitfield guy. Okay,
understood.
That's first and foremost. Another thing, he threw like what 120 passes or something?
Yeah,
like
almost 40% more
right. than you normally throw at your pro day.
Right.
So, you know, so just to defend him in some respect. Now, keep in mind, the biggest knock on Andrew Luck was his arm strength. So Andrew Luck, he has his pro day outside, not inside. It's windy, and he says, you know what? I'll throw into the wind.
Right.
And he crushed it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, beyond A+. I don't think I don't think anyone will ever top, based on what I heard from scouts with Andrew Luck, I don't think anyone will ever top Andrew Luck's pro day. I mean, for a guy that going in had question marks about his arm strength and then decides on a very windy, windy, windy afternoon to say, you know what? I'll throw into the wind, as opposed to taking the wind.
The Luck Pro Day has already achieved legendary status.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, so
okay.
Just to defend him a little bit.
I will take what you say into account.
Okay.
But if he's the number one overall pick in the draft, I'm sorry. Circumstances or not, I need to see everything being at absolute tip-top form right throughout the entire workout. I didn't see that. I thought he threw better as the workout went on. I thought his red zone stuff was really, really sharp. But again, if he's the number one overall pick, no, he's not for me. He didn't change. You know what? I'm going to rewind 1 second and let me give you a better statement.
Okay.
That you can't argue me.
All right.
Against me with.
I'm ready. I'm ready for it.
Personnel people over the years have taught me a very, very, very good lesson. And what they told me was, believe what you see in the games more than anything else that you see in a workout, in a combine, you know, in some skills competition, whatever it is. Believe what you see in the games more than anything else you see.
And what have you seen in the games with
what
James
I
Winston?
See in the games with Jameis Winston is his technique gets sloppy. Especially when he's getting heat and he's forced to move. I see a guy who is inconsistent and goes through streaks of inconsistency. Of course, he bounces back extremely well. And again, a great athlete who can make every throw that an NFL quarterback needs to make. I'm not saying he's a bum, okay? He's not a bum. But number one overall pick in the draft? I can't. When Andrew Luck came out, we had this discussion. Even, you know, this guy is the man. He is the guy. I think a lot of people felt he was the guy. I felt that way. I don't feel that way about this guy from the warts I just described to you. And it may be small, and maybe some people don't think it's that big a deal. I do.
Okay. And that's fair.
You on board or no?
This is the last comment I want to make about Jameis Winston. I want to move on. Obviously, this is a Giants show. And again, Jameis Winston, no effect in regard to what the Giants are going to do in the draft. But I'm a big fan of Marcus Mariota.
Okay.
But everything I'm hearing from the scouts is that Jameis Winston is a better quarterback and higher expectation, higher kind of transition, seamless transition from college to the pros. But I guess what I want to know is how much, because you've got to weigh that. Marcus Mariota, no off-the-field issues. Jameis Winston, a ton. So does Jameis Winston's talent and ability elevate him to a point where I'm going to take him over Marcus Mariota because his talent and ability is that much greater than the off-the-field issues and concerns and chance you're going to take, especially in this day and age in the NFL and Roger Goodell and how there's, you know, just no second chance policy anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
it's all part of it.
So that's, you know, so that's what I'm curious about. That's what I want to hear from scouts, and only time will tell. But let's move on. Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. We're going to get to calls in a second. Just one more thing about the FSU Pro Day yesterday, and that is there were a number of guys beyond Jameis Winston who worked out for a lot of these scouts. Anybody on your radar that you think might be on the Giants' radar?
I think that the Florida State folks had potentially, and we talked about this in an email last night, Anita, they may have had like 8 guys who could go top 100, top 120, which would be, let's just say, 3 rounds in, maybe early 4th round.
Mm-hmm.
These are guys who have make-it grades, who should make an NFL roster. I mean, this was literally a supermarket full of prospects. One guy who really intrigues me, okay, P.J. Williams. P.J. Williams, corner, 6 feet, 194, runs a 4.53, but early second-round pick, so the Giants do have an early second-rounder. A lot of folks think he's going to convert to free safety.
Ooh.
Which is what makes him interesting to me.
Right.
Okay. When I wrote my notes down on him, and again, you know, I've looked at hundreds of players, folks, so sometimes I get a little sketchy. I'm going to have to apologize, but I got to go back to my notes. I wrote aggressive, press coverage, plays the run, special team standout on returns and on coverages, but inconsistent effort, can get careless sometimes, which is all about maturity. And how many times have you said to me, remember, these college prospects are kids.
Right.
You know, so you got to take that into account. And then the other thing was he did avoid charges off the field on a hit-and-run accident at one point. And anytime a Florida State player is involved in something legal, you always kind of shake your head because you just don't know, based on the reputation of the school and the law enforcement down there, if that was something you need to be worried about or not. So that would take some investigation off the field. But in terms of him as a player, the size, the speed, the agility, the skill component, I could see him definitely projecting to safety. Again, talent-wise, early second round, might be a guy the Giants would be looking at.
P.J. Williams.
Yeah.
Cornerback for FSU, the Seminoles, might convert to safety. Only time will tell. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, and of course you. Let's hit the phone lines. Start off with line 2, Brian, calling in from New York. Brian, welcome. You're first up.
Hey, guys. No Giants questions, but I would like to know about Nat Burhe, about what you've seen about him, because once I heard that he was, like, maybe slotted as a starter for training camp, I looked up some highlights on him, and what I see is a big hitter, but he's more reactionary than instinctual. I was wondering if you guys seen the same thing in practice and whatnot.
Well, here's the problem.
Thanks for your call, Brian.
Burhe hasn't given us a whole lot of stuff on film to see, Anita. What we know is that from his days in college, he played the strong safety, in-the-box kind of guy. They called him the missile because he really honed in on ball carriers and hit them. I mean, he was really good at it. He's the kind of guy who has the skill set. Okay, he's not going to be a free safety. in all honesty, because he's not a center fielder, Roman Ballhawk kind of type. He's what you know as a football player. He gets his nose dirty. He mixes it up. Clearly, the Giants thought they got a steal when they got him. And they thought last year that this was a guy who could project, if necessary, as a contender for a starting job. Well, guess what? Based on the safeties they have now, he's going to get a shot. He's going to get a shot. So let's see what the kid can do in August. Well, minicamp first, but then in August. And we'll be watching him closely.
Right. Let's continue with our calls. We go to line one. Joe's calling in from Pennsylvania. Joe, welcome. You're on board.
Hi, Anita. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Paul, I heard your predictions in that. I know you want, number one, our offensive lineman, but if he wasn't there, I know you'd be all bummed out. Who would be your next selection, Paul, in an offense or defensive lineman?
Well, here's part of the problem. You gotta tell me about who's going to be there. And, you know, well, I'm scratching out all these notes. And
Well, what I'm going on basically is you know who would be there. Say I'm not worried if there's another if we make a deal or not. But I'm just – who would be your next offensive lineman or defensive lineman, Paul?
All right. My next offensive lineman is Collins.
But does he go –
But
does he go at nine?
He's a top 15 on my board. So now here's the thing.
So let's make this a very interesting scenario. Okay, Scherf is gone.
Right.
Beasley's gone.
Right.
Right? Both the quarterbacks are gone. Williams is gone. One of the wide receivers are gone. One. Not both. One are gone.
One.
What do you do?
So I'm fielding phone calls is what I'm doing.
You're trading down.
I'm fielding phone calls.
You're trading down?
See, yeah, because what I wrote on Collins, if I can't get my premier offensive lineman, what I wrote on Collins, and again, I'm doing shorthand stuff here because I'm not going to bring all my stuff. I just can't do it. I got so much stuff at home about this. I wrote shorthand. I wrote on Collins, top 15. I wrote mean.
I can't. Don't even show me. I can't read your
Okay. Hand. I wrote mean, power, okay, left tackle, left guard, played both spots, questions about balance, agility, and hands technique. He is not the polished guy that Scherf is, which is why I dropped him down. I think he's a top 15 guy. But I'd have no problem taking Collins if I were to move down. And what did we say the other day, Anita? The Giants, in my mind, could probably still go down to 13.
Right, you don't want them to go below 13 because then there's going to be a run on offensive linemen. You're concerned.
Unlucky 13. Don't go past it.
How about this? This is a tweet from Steven. Wants to know if Cleveland wants one of the two receivers at nine, is it asking too much that Giants get both of the Browns' first-round picks?
Yeah, you're not going to get that much. You're not going to get that much. I don't see them giving up that much to do it. But, again, I think the Browns are a possible trading partner. We've discussed that before. You know, I think the Saints are a possible trading partner. And these are teams that are in that area where I think the Giants would be safe to make a move. I did want to give a defensive guy, and I don't know if we mentioned him the other day, Anita. I know I mentioned it with John yesterday. Trey Waynes, the Michigan State corner. Tremendous talent. He's right there on the cusp of the top 10. He'd be a guy I would think about, you know, because let's face it, in today's game, you play a lot of third corner. And a lot of four corners, too. I mean, teams are going with these spreads, and they've got two guys left, two guys right. I could see that. But anyway, enough of that. There are a lot of scenarios here. As we get closer and closer to the draft, and I make more and more phone calls around the league, I'll give you a little better picture as to what I think could happen. But really, Anita, bottom line, and before I end this this topic, I just want to say bottom line is this. I have a very strong conviction about it, and I think you agree with me. There's going to be a lot of phone action in this top 10, and that could send everything into a tizzy because there's going to be a domino effect if people start making moves and trades in that top 10.
Especially if who are the teams, again, that we said below 13 are looking for an offensive lineman?
Well, the Dolphins
right.
are one.
Vikings, right?
We had the Niners.
Okay.
Niners could use an offensive lineman.
Was there another?
Dolphins could use an offensive lineman. Vikings are right up in that area. They also would be thinking about it, but I think they're going to go elsewhere. We should call up the first round order because that would make things very simple.
I have it somewhere.
Okay, not a problem. We're right here.
But what could be interesting, right, is if one of those teams move up to try to get Scherf.
Oh, don't even think that. Oh, the Texans. The Texans are at 16. They, they're going to be looking for an offensive lineman too.
Right. So do you think there's a possibility that one of those three teams could move up?
Boy, that would be scary, because if one of those teams wants to jump up, I could see them trying to do a deal with the Falcons at 8, because the Falcons may be and I still think they're going defense. I'm sorry. I know we talked about this yesterday with John. I don't think the Falcons are going to go O-line. They could use some help, but I think they're going defense.
Some people have them going running back as well.
That's true.
Keep in mind.
Gurney's a name I've been heard for him.
Right. They've got Steven Jackson.
You know, so I think they're going D, and they could probably move down at that point 3 or 4 spots. I could see them being a willing trading partner, thinking they can get a good defensive player, and then all of a sudden somebody hops in front of the Giants and Scherf is gone.
I was just told they cut Steven Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson.
He's a free agent right
couple
now?
Week, yeah, he was a couple weeks ago. I think they told him he was going. That's true.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to line 3. Vic is calling in from Florida. Vic, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Paul and Anita.
Hi.
I got a question for Paul.
Sure.
I strongly believe the Sheriff is going to be the Giants pick, okay? That's my belief.
Okay.
But let's say you were a Reese, you were the general manager of Reese, and you had, and Sheriff was gone, but you had like a guy like Andrus Peat available, Landon Collins, Amari Cooper, Danny Shelton, Trey Waynes, or this guy that I hear about a lot about, it's Eric Flowers. Who would you pick?
See, now, here's what I wrote on my notes about Flowers, okay? Knee issue, late first-round pick for me, and trouble with balance. When I looked at his tapes, what I saw was he gets caught too many times on the heels of his feet. He doesn't have good balance when he locks up with folks. For me, he's going to have to change that, you know, to become a real effective player. Now, again, he's got tremendous talent. We're still talking late first round. But when I talk about guys who are polished, who I really can't find flaws in, or the fewest flaws in, that's why Scherf is so much above everybody else. Collins is number 2 for me. I've got Peat number 3, and I've got Flowers the number 4 offensive tackle on my board. The balance issue is a problem for me. And again, knee also. You got to check into that stuff. I don't have medical records on any of these guys. That's always a concern. Fair enough?
Yes, but what about if Landon Collins was available? Would you pick him?
No. I got
at
this.
At 9?
Can't.
Okay. Listen, one more question. Okay, one more thing. Remember Doug Kotar, number 44? He was one of my favorite running backs.
Absolutely. Undersized guy.
Okay, guys.
Caught it out of the backfield.
Okay, guys, have a good day.
Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Let's continue on Twitter. Make sure you follow the Giants at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Giants Nation. I would definitely be okay moving down to 12 or 13 and get an extra pick with Collins, if not there. So a lot of Giants fans are big on Collins.
Well, are they talking Leal Collins, the lineman, or are they talking Landon Collins, the safety? When I say Collins, I'm talking Leal Collins. I'm not talking about the strong safety, because for me, a top 10 pick there as a safety, I'm not seeing it. I don't think the value is there. And I don't think it's the most intelligent move, even though the Giants have need.
Shane says that Peat is overrated because of his size. His conditioning is a huge issue. Agree or disagree, Peat?
Yeah, well, and again, things I've jotted down on Peat. What I wrote down was, I don't think he's got a mean streak. I think he plays too passive. He's got to put on bulk and power. I do like his feet. I do like his agility. And I see him as a finesse left tackle, okay?
I don't think he has a mean streak.
I don't. I didn't see it. When I watched him play, he doesn't – look, when I say to you, this guy's a mauler, what do you think of? You think of David Deal, right? You think of Richie Cyber.
I think of Zeus. I'd think of Zeus Brown, who'd reach down and he would – break the finger of the defensive player before the ball was snapped. That's what I – that's
– okay.
Yeah.
fine.
That's the kind of offensive lineman I want protecting my butt.
Pete's not that guy.
Right.
He's not that guy.
Right.
He's a technician. And at 6'7", here's the issue you're going to have with him. First of all, he's not going to be able to play guard. His frame is too big, too upright. You try to put him at guard, he's going to be a disaster. So he's strictly going to have to be a tackle. Now, if he's at left tackle, he's going to be dealing with a lot of technique pass rushers and a lot of these tweeners. He could probably hold up really well as a good technician, finesse left tackle.
Right.
But if you can put him on the right side, you and I both know, old school says your right tackle needs to be more of a mauler. He needs to be more of a Kareem McKenzie type, physical, power guy. He's going to be the guy strong side right with your run. Pete doesn't fit that. Just doesn't. Anyway, that's why to me he's down. He's top 20. He's down a little bit.
Here's another tweet for you, Paul Dottino, from Phil. He wants to know Dots. He's calling you Dots.
Oh, boy.
Predicting a flurry of trades in the first round. When was the last time we had one? When was the last time you saw? And keep in mind what I kind of like. About the new change, the fact that you have the first round on Thursday night prime time,
right,
and then 2 and 3 on Friday, and then 4 through 7 on Saturday, is that the first round happens, and then now you've got executives who've got 24 hours, right, mm-hmm. to make the calls, regroup, right?
Absolutely.
So not only does the change in regard to it being prime time and being a fun event, And something you've got to tune into. It also helps general managers, and I think it helps the wheeling and dealing that takes place.
I don't sleep.
What do you mean you don't sleep?
I don't sleep after the first round.
What do you do?
Because you've got to get ready for the second round, and there's a lot of stuff that you got to get through. It's horrible. Look, olden days, got a couple of rounds out of the way, it was a lot easier. Now it's like, forget about it. Hey, in answer to the question, Neil, I appreciate you refreshing me on this one because, again, a lot of years up here, it gets a little fuzzy. Mathias Kiwiduka, 2013, Giants did a deal with the Steelers and wound up going down to get, what's that? Did I say 2000? I meant 2006. They got Kiwiduka. They moved down to get him. And he wound up playing here for 9 years. So, you know, he was a good player. He was a good player. I mean, you would like to have had him do more, injuries, position changes, whatever. But it's not like they don't do it. They moved up when they did the Shockey deal. They moved up when they did the Will Allen deal. They've done it over time. They moved up when they got William Roberts many, many years ago to the end of the first round. I remember all of those things. It can happen. It can happen.
We've got a special guest who's joining us, and it is Roy Cummings. Of course, he covers the Tampa Bay Bucks. Big reason we're having him on, obviously, because Jameis Winston had his pro day yesterday, and Roy was there. So, Roy, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with Anita Marks and Paul Dottino. You were there. Let us live vicariously through you. Obviously, I was following Twitter, I think, like a lot of us, watching ESPN, watching the NFL Network. But what was it like to be there? What was the response that you got from a lot of the scouts that were in attendance?
I think a lot of them were very impressed. You know, let's face it, I think there's a lot of people who thought that Jameis Winston, at least as he is on the field, I think there's a lot of casual fans, but even diehard fans who probably think that he was kind of a plug and play quarterback. But I don't think that was the case. He's always had a bit of a wind up to his delivery. You know, he's a baseball pitcher, and you know, he had a tendency to kind of drop the ball down to his hip and then bring it up. You know, it kind of shortens his or extends his release rather. That was a problem. His footwork wasn't always the best in terms of his setup, in terms of stepping into the throws. And when I talked to scouts yesterday, including the Bucks' new quarterbacks coach, Mike Bajakian, who came from the University of Tennessee during the offseason, they seemed very impressed with the progress that Jameis has made in terms of trying to correct those particular flaws. I think they were very happy with the fact that he's corrected a lot of the problems with that windup. His footwork was much better, more consistent in both areas. And I think you saw it as well, 102 throws, and the kid never, he was very accurate with most of them, only 11 incompletions, and that included about 4 drops, and a lot of zip on those balls. I mean, showed a strong arm all the way throughout. I'll tell you what, I was getting exhausted watching this kid, 102 throws. Some quarterbacks won't make that over the course of, you know, 2 or 3 games. So an awful lot of work in about a 45-minute span, and I think he impressed most of the scouts there, not just with the progress he's made in terms of his mechanics, I think, but with his physical fitness. You know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, how does Jameis look? He looked very trim yesterday, very much in shape, and you could see at the end of this very grueling 102-throw workout, which they didn't take any breaks. It was move the ball down the field and do it again. He was strong right up to the end.
Roy, you know, it's funny because they've got a lot of guys at FSU who have make it grades on them, and I know Winston gets all the headlines, but there are a bunch of guys here, second, third rounders, who are going to make some teams and help some teams. It's not just the number one overall pick who the Bucs will probably grab in Winston. I want to ask you about two guys in particular who I think the Giants fans should be thinking about. Trey Jackson, the guard, I'm thinking early third round, has some issues with his weight and conditioning, a little slow with his feet. But when you're getting into the third round now, you're looking for guys who just have make-it grades. They're not necessarily immediate starters. I'm curious as to what you think about him. And I got to ask you about P.J. Williams, who Anita and I talked about earlier, projects possibly as a free safety, maybe not a corner when he gets to the NFL. Some thoughts on those two guys and what folks said about them at yesterday's pro day.
I didn't get a lot on the guard. But and again, you know, it's a pro day. And with guards, you really have to kind of see them, you know, on the field. Pro days tell you, you know, some things about their athleticism, and that, you know, that's solid. Like you said, he's probably a third-round kind of guy. You know, I think he's a player certainly capable of, look, he comes from a winning program, comes from a good program, a program that's starting to produce a lot of pretty good offensive linemen and defensive linemen, just players all over the field. So I think he's got a good foundation there, and he gets to beat him with some NFL people. He probably could become a pretty effective contributor quickly. In terms of P.J. Williams, that kid was impressive. In fact, all of the secondary players showed a tremendous amount of athleticism. I think there's some real hidden talent in that group, and this kid, I don't know if he's a first-round talent or not. I think he might just fall a little bit short in some of the eyes of some scouts, but if you're looking for a free safety type, boy, that kid can certainly run. He's got tremendous skills, you know, the ability to, you know, just turn and run and that kind of thing, backpedal a little bit. All the DB drills that they put him through, he excelled. He really excelled. In fact, my guess is he may have helped himself a lot in this draft. He may have made himself a first-round pick in this draft with the way he worked yesterday.
With Williams and Darby, two of the DBs, who I'm sure showed well, as you were just talking about, there are those off-the-field things. How much did that stuff get discussed, if at all, amongst people that you were talking to when you attended the workout?
Yeah, I didn't hear much of talk about that from the scouts. I think that kind of homework has been done, is being done, and
yeah.
I don't think the pro day is really where you hear a lot of it. You know, I know that, again, that's a big issue with Jameis Winston, too, so it's, you know, but again, I think that's probably something that continues to get discussed more in the boardroom and things like that. It's behind-the-scenes conversations. Although I know for a fact the Buccaneers, spent some time privately with Jimbo Fisher, probably talking about Jameis Winston, but possibly yeah. talking about some of the other kids as well. Maybe Cameron Irving, who they might, you know, who knows, maybe they move up into the second round to get that, back in the first round, rather, to get him. Maybe a guy like Williams, and maybe other teams did the same. Maybe they got some time away and got Jimbo alone in a room somewhere and said, hey, you know, what can we expect? What can you tell me about this guy? Give me some more information. My guess is that kind of stuff happened, but probably not in the eyes of people like myself.
Roy Cummings joining us. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at rcummingstbo, Tampa Bay Buccaneer beat writer for the Tampa Tribune, also correspondent with the Sporting News and Pro Football Weekly. Roy, before we let you go, let's say, hypothetically speaking, I think everybody's expecting Tampa to take Jameis Winston. He comes in. What other quarterbacks do you think will be on the roster, like Mike Glennon? Do you think he'll still be there? Do you think he'll be traded at some point in time in the draft? And if he is there, is this going to be a competition at the quarterback position? Or do you feel that immediately, because what you hear about Jameis Winston is that his transition from college to the NFL is probably more seamless than any other quarterback coming out. Is it just automatically expected he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Bucs next year?
I think a lot of people expect that, but I don't. And one of the reasons I don't, and I think that there could be a competition, I think there should be a competition, is Let's face it, Mike Glenn is going into his third year in the NFL. He knows what's expected. He's played games, 19 of them now, started 18 games, so he knows what to expect in the NFL. Jameis Winston doesn't. And again, as I pointed out, there's still some mechanical things that have to be corrected with Jameis Winston. There's a lot of issues. If I'm running the Buccaneers, I'm not trading Mike Glennon. Number one, there's too many teams out there that seem to want this kid, which tells me that he's a pretty popular player and
sure.
probably a pretty good player if you give him a chance, you know, with some decent talent around him and in front of him. And the other thing is, let's face it, guys, we all know that most teams lean on that second quarterback for two or three games throughout the year anyway. And if you're a team that you think that you're going to, you know, try to get to 500 or even maybe possibly compete for a playoff spot in the next year or two, I think you want to have some pretty good depth behind Jameis Winston. Now, if the choice is that you're going to go sign a veteran quarterback, that's one thing. But I'm not sure what veteran quarterbacks are out there to be signed that are actually better than what Mike Glennon gives you in terms of upside. So there's a lot of talk here in Tampa, obviously, throughout the league about Mike Glennon being available. I think that's because teams want him because he's probably not going to be – he's not going to be the long-term starter here. Unless something, you know, drastic happens with Jameis Winston. But, you know, whether Jameis Winston is going to be good enough to start the regular season once the regular season rolls around is a big question. You know, I don't think Lovie Smith is too excited about just handing that job over to a rookie. It's really not kind of his style. I mean, he's never really done it before. I think he wants to see guys earn the position. If Jameis Winston goes out and earns the spot, great. You know, then you've got, 6-8 weeks before you, you know, if somebody needs a quarterback, you can put Mike Glennon on the block then. But if I'm running this football team, I'm holding on to Mike Glennon through the offseason and training camp for sure.
Fantastic. Roy, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate your time.
Glad to do it. Anytime. Thank
you. Good to talk to you, Roy. Thank you.
Roy Cummings, of course. Well, let's continue with our calls. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks, you're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Also, we'll continue monitoring Twitter as well, hashtag Giants Chat. So, you're all over P.J. Williams.
You know, I got to be honest. I'm a little concerned when I hear he had this great workout and he's thinking maybe
he sneaks into the end of the first round.
See what that says right there? Early second round, could convert to free safety. Yep. Early second round. That's what the Giants are. If he goes before that second round, Giants are going to have a shot at him. Oh, golly.
Let's go to line four. We've got Derek calling in from Atlanta. Oh. Derek, welcome.
Hey, hi, guys. Hey, so when I'm nice interview with your scout. But what I'm thinking, if the Tampa Bay takes Jameis Winston, is what I think they should, and I think he's going to be a 10-year starter. And first of all, I think that if they do take him, first pick overall in this draft, then he can't be in a competition for the quarterback. You have to give him a job, and you have to just let play through his woes or whatever.
If I may one second interrupt and excuse me, but I got to caution you because a guy's a number one overall pick in the draft, okay, Jamarcus Russell, Ryan Leaf, Alex Smith, there have been some of these guys who the entire universe or most of the universe thought were going to be franchise guys and turned out not only to be not so good, but in some instances, flat out bad. So
I don't think you can give hope to the crowd by letting Glennon be competent and win a couple of games and Jameis Winston sits on the bench. Either way, I mean, you're going to delay his progress and probably, yeah, I don't want to do that. I'm the GM. I don't want to do that. But quarterbacks are elevated. Defensive ends are elevated. That's why I think Vic Beasley is the number one pick for the Giants if he's there. I know Leonard Williams is not going to be there. Vic Beasley, if any possibility he's there, will be the first pick. Amari Cooper will be the second pick. Brandon Scherff, to me, I like him, but the bottom line is he's a guard. Okay, I could pick up a guard in the second round and that could play 10 years for me. If he was a left tackle, I'll be all over him. If you project him as tackle, right tackle, I might give him a shot because I know Will Billy's contract is coming up.
Project Scherff as a right tackle, and there are a number of people who agree with me. There may be more who think he's a guard, but there are a lot of people who think he's a starting right tackle in this league. And if you'll buy that, it sounds like you're okay with picking him.
Yeah. If like what you're saying, I don't mind taking him if you project him as guard. But the analysts I hear on you know, radio, on TV, ESPN, NFL Network, they all projecting him. Scouts, I'm reading the things. He's a better guard in the NFL. So if you're going to be a guard, I can take him in the second. I can take a guard in the second round, play 10 years for me, and that's good.
Here's what I do want to warn you on it, because we got to let you go. And I appreciate the phone call.
Let me just say one more thing about Scherff.
Go ahead.
Okay. The thing why he has to be the tackle and can't be a guard is because he has medical, and he only did 23 reps at the combine. So if I can get over those things if he's a tackle. If he's a guard, I can't take him. All right. I'll talk to you guys later.
Appreciate it. One thought. After you get past the upper echelon of the guys in the offensive line class, Anita, it seems to me that you're not talking about instant starters anymore when you look at the group of guards and tackles that are in the second and third round. They're more guys who will need a year or two, guys who may be able to help you out on your 53 because they're better than the depth that you have right now, but they're not necessarily immediate starters. So here's the danger if you say to me, Paulie Dotz, I got to have a safety, okay? I can't take an offensive lineman in the first round. The danger with that, folks, is I don't know that there are any pro-ready starting offensive linemen available to help the Giants in rounds two or three. They're going to need a little work. And I don't think if I'm the Giants, I want a guy who can start right away. They got to plug a hole in that offensive line right now, Anita. I don't have time to wait. I mean, you could disagree if you like.
No.
But I need a guy I can plug in now. I want him playing September 1st. Well, whatever, first week of September. He starts for me. I'm not looking for a two-year project here. And that's what your second and third round offensive linemen are. These guys are depth guys who could be starters in a couple of years.
Would you say, Paul, that this is the least talented group of offensive linemen you've seen come out as a whole? In the past few years?
Well, no, because there are a lot of guys who have make-it grades who will make 53s. And in two or three years, you're going to have a lot of starters. But I'm talking about immediately. I mean, you're going to have your handful of guys.
But I guess this is what I'm saying.
Your first round.
Bless you. What kind of grade? Let's go this route.
I think it's a good group.
What kind of grade would you give the offensive linemen as a group that are coming out this year?
I'd say it's a good group. I'd say it's a very strong B+ in general as you spread it out across the board. But in terms of guys who can immediately help you, it gets a little slim.
Okay.
And that's why it's a problem. I did want to say one thing about the quarterback, though. Mm-hmm. We were talking about Winston. You mentioned something to me, and I know I'm going a little bit off track here, but you had mentioned to me in some of our prep notes, Eli Manning was excited about the offense this year and some of what he wants to do, and it kind of filters in a way what we're talking about with the linemen. Eli admitted, and so did Coach McAdoo at the end of the season, they left a lot of stuff in the playbook. They didn't bring it all out. Now, they're not going to come out and tell you why they left a lot of stuff in there, but I think we can tell you flat out as you watch this team play, lack of a consistent power running game, which, of course, impacts what you're going to be able to do because the offensive line was not up to snuff in all areas. And, quite honestly, if you can't trust what your offensive linemen are going to do each and every week, going week in and week out, you can't be experimenting with other areas of your playbook. So Eli can be excited about, we've got a bunch of stuff that we can grow with this offense, a bunch of stuff that we haven't shown you yet. But here's the thing. If you don't have the brick wall in front of them, and if you don't have that consistent power running game to set things up, all of this great stuff that Eli is telling these folks now isn't going to happen.
All right, well, what Paul's talking about, I'm going to share with you some comments that Eli made to the New York Daily News. Quote, unquote, this year will be a much easier transition, knowing that we have been through so much of it already. He said, it's a different starting point. I feel good about it. I feel that I've got a good understanding of it. But there's still room to grow, and that's why I try to keep it as fresh in my mind as possible, looking at old game plan sheets and calling plays in my head, throwing routes with receivers, trying to call out plays to myself. So you don't let it slip away. It was a new year last year. It wasn't something I've been doing for 10 years. So you want to keep it fresh, go through your reminders, all your checks. So when you come back, I haven't taken a step backwards. Have to relearn things. It's still all there. There will be new stuff, and we'll be taking it to another level. Quick note here, he's been working out at Ole Miss with some of the receivers and alumni, just FYI. So that's what Paul Dottino is talking about. Eli Manning spoke to the New York Daily News. That's what he had to say. So, you know, building off of last year, pretty much, in essence.
And to do that, don't you have to have a confident quarterback and a confident offensive coordinator who know that that offensive line is going to hold up and let him do what he needs to do?
Yeah, but this isn't new. This is something we've been talking about for years.
And that's why this is still a work in progress, and it's not finished.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Jeff, line two, calling in from New Hampshire. Jeff, welcome.
Hi. Hey, I listen a lot. Don't usually get to call in.
Well, welcome.
I like listening to Paul talk. I'm kind of an old-fashioned football guy myself, so I usually agree with most of what he says.
Thank you so much, Sonny. I appreciate it.
I'm not old, just old-fashioned in football. So I wanted to see if I could maybe change his mind on where we should go with our first-round pick. I doubt I can, but figured I'd give a few perspectives. I know what you're saying about us needing to draft Scherf and upgrade the line, and I'd obviously agree with it, and I wouldn't be upset if we took him. I would just rather see us go defense, and the guy I've had my eye on is Shelton. Couple of reasons. I think if the season started tomorrow and I was going into this season with the offensive line I have right now and the defensive line I have right now, I'd feel better about my offensive line than I do about the defensive line. We got killed and given up rushing yards last year. We couldn't stop the run. I feel like our offensive line is going to be a little bit upgraded this year just by getting Jeff Schwartz healthy, by putting Richburg at center where he's probably more comfortable. I don't think John Jerry's great, but I think if my offensive line was Beatty, Jerry, Richburg, Schwartz, and Pugh, that's not bad. And then I look at the defensive line, and I'm pretty comfortable with what we have for ends with a healthy Robert Ayers. I think people underestimate him. We want to get some more snaps. I think he's still got a chance to be pretty good. The guy we added from Dallas plays well against the run. I think we're okay at defensive end. I don't want to see us draft a pass rusher, especially these 3-4 hybrid guys. I don't like them. But next to Hankins, I don't know what we have to stop the run. Jenkins is getting old. Bromley's unproven.
Right, you know the team signed Kendrick Ellis, right?
Yeah, he'll give us 20 snaps a game. He's nothing spectacular. Good play, good signing.
Whoa,
but
340 pounds of beef, 6'4" and a half.
That's what Shelton is, and just another big guy up the middle that I think could start.
You just countered your own argument because they just went out and signed a veteran free agent who has experience, and by the way, experience in this market, which is also not a bad thing, and he's going to be a first and second down plugger. Okay? That's what his role is in that defensive line rotation. They have filled that role with that signing. Shelton, to me, is just putting another Band-Aid on top of a Band-Aid. I appreciate what you're saying. He's a top 10 talent, terrific player. And had the Giants still had a gaping hole at the plugger spot, I'd be sitting here saying, Anita, they got to grab this guy because they got to fortify their rush defense. But I think they've already kind of helped that along, you know?
You'd be more comfortable having Ellis as a starting defensive tackle than having Jerry as a starting guard?
Well, here's the thing.
That's kind of where I look at it.
Well, here's the thing. John Jerry, better at pass protection than he is in the run game. All right? We've seen that. That's not a secret now.
No, I agree with that.
And you need to develop a consistent power running game if you want to be able to give Eli Manning the opportunity to expand that playbook with Coach McAdoo. You need to be able to do that. Well,
we didn't have Schwartz all last year. He's like a new free agent this year.
Okay,
like
but now remember,
free agent class coming back from injury.
But remember, and I'm going to let you go here because we got other callers. I know we need to get more. But Schwartz is coming back off injury, but he's a guard. Okay, and you got another guard in Richburg who's going to be your center because Walton is gone to the Dolphins. So now you have another hole. Now you're going to tell me John Jerry's going to plug in there. I'm going to tell you that's not going to help the running game a whole lot. So I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to say good try, but you didn't convince me.
No. Just think of having Shelton and Hankins side by side for 5 years.
I understand. But there are other needs and values that kind of mesh a little bit better.
All right.
Thank you.
Jeff, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Still have some time left in the show. You want to get in. Now's the time to do it. You're watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino. Paul, this is a fun article that I came up. You're talking about the run game. Shane Vereen is being viewed as much more than just a third down back, according to NJ.com. I know it's something that we've been talking about in regard to utilizing him as a third down back, but this report is saying that he'll be utilized even more so. Your thoughts?
Well, I think what you're first going to do is when you're Coach McAdoo and you go into training camp, you're going to say, okay, this is what I'd like to do with these guys. And then you cross your fingers and you hope that everybody does what they're supposed to do. Based on Rashad Jennings' track record and the types of injuries that he's had year after year, you just don't know. You need to be able to prepare Vereen to do more than just third down catches in case either Andre Williams does not continue to progress or Rashad Jennings, bite my tongue, should wind up getting hurt again. So, yeah, is there a potential that Vereen could do more? I think we've looked at him as a runner, and he can run the ball. It's not like he can't do it. But I think going in, your first priority is you want him to be a scat back. That's what you're paying him for. But at the same time, if he is called upon to do some other stuff in the running game, you seem to have enough physical and film evidence to show you that he can. And that's about the only way I can answer that. Are you on board with that?
Okay. I was throwing it. I was teeing it up for you.
Yeah, but you're a big Vereen backer, aren't
you? I am. I love Shane Vereen, especially in fantasy football in regard to points per reception because he was utilized so much in the passing attack, more so than any other back when he was with the Patriots. But, you know, Bill Belichick, he's a different animal when it comes to how he utilizes his backfield.
Sure.
So, you know, have we – I don't think we've seen all of Shane Vereen's true potential. So, you know, I'm excited. I don't know what we ultimately can really all expect from him. I'm excited to see what we can expect from him. Mm-hmm. And also, let me tell you something. Rashad Jennings, don't think for a second he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder right now that Shane Vereen's here. You know, this he wants to come in this season and he wants to prove that he's an every down back, you know, and then let's add one more piece to the puzzle. You've got Andre Williams, who's coming into his second year. Do you know what I mean? Who wants to prove that he's the man? This is a guy I think most people forget was in the running for the Heisman Trophy out of Boston College. I mean, he's not chopped liver.
Had a real good December.
So you've got three guys back there that really have a lot of swagger, a lot of confidence, big egos, who want to come in and prove that they're the man. Don't get me wrong. I think that they're going to work together. I love their personalities. They've all got great personalities. I think they're going to be as thick as thieves. But I think there's a lot to prove on across the board with all three running backs.
Oh, I don't think there's any question that the dynamic of that backfield could be really, really special. If they all stay healthy, McAdoo's going to have a lot of fun with those guys. Because you're right, they're all going to play, all out. You know what I was going to say,
but I didn't say it. It's a family show, Paul Dottino. Behave yourself.
Yes, ma'am.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Brian in D.C. Brian.
Hello?
Hi. Got to make it quick. Hey. I'm sorry, but if you can, have a thought, a question, what you got?
Yes, I have two questions.
Okay.
The first is, again, getting back to the sheriff question. I wanted to ask just generally, which position on the offensive line is it easiest to fill? Is it my assumption is that it would be the right guard, but I was just curious to know, when we look at our needs, which one of the positions that we have would be the easiest to fill if we were just to pick up someone later in the draft or in free agency?
Well, it depends upon what style of offense you're running. It also depends upon the physical skill set of the player. People will tell you the left tackle, as we've discussed before, Anita, is one of your franchise positions. It's one of your four franchise positions. So if you've got a guy who's skilled and talented.
Four, I have three. What's your fourth?
Well, it's the quarterback, it's the left tackle, it's the corner, the cover corner, and it's the pass rusher.
Okay.
There were four franchise positions you have to have.
Okay.
That's old school.
All right.
But here's the thing. A center has to have it up here. Because if he doesn't have tremendous intelligence and instincts, you know, that's the guy who's helping out with the line calls and helping out identify the blitzers and stuff. And he's working in conjunction with your quarterback. So a center has to be very cerebral. Your left tackle has to have a terrific skill set to be able to handle power rushers or speed rushers. Your right tackle, in an old school mentality, has to be your mauler, your bulldozer, and a guy who can seal the edge and then get out to the side. Your guard has to be a guy who's good enough to pull. He's got to have enough athleticism in his lower body. So now, you're telling me which is the hardest to replace? Well, it depends the clump of clay you're putting in front of me. You know, if he's really smart, then I'm okay. You'd be a center. If he's got all the tools to play a tackle, fine. The one thing I will say to you is that if you make a mistake and you draft a tackle too high, unless he's a finesse technique guy like Pete, you can move him inside, and he can probably play guard. The reverse is not true. If you draft a first-round guard high and you make a mistake, chances are a million to one that you're going to be able to move him outside and play tackle. So that's why tackles are always going to be more valuable than guards, because there's more of a percentage of error, a cushion there, where you could still make him a hell of a guard, even if he doesn't work out at tackle. I hope I've answered your question. It's rather complicated, but I tried.
They're typically more athletic.
Yes.
201-939-4513. Let's take a last call of the day here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We end it with Shakes calling in from B-More. Charm City, baby. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Anita? Hey, P-Dot, man, I got to address you, man. I got to address you. Here's my thing. You knocking down every other position. You think that these free agency signings are starters, like these guys complete the roster? Like, they don't. Just because we signed Kendrick Ellis don't mean we can't go get we can't draft Danny Shelton. If he's the best guy on the board, grab that man.
I think that Shelton is a top 10 pick, okay, and if he's there at the Giants at 9, he would have to be in their cluster and they would have to consider him. And then you would have to say to me, well, who else is on the board? If Scherf is still on the board, I'm probably going for Scherf. But if he's not on the board, I would consider Shelton. He's a top 10 value. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I think I know what you're doing, man. I think you're knocking every other position down for your offensive lineman. I think I see what you're doing.
Oh, he's calling you out, P-Dot.
I think I see what you're doing here.
Wow.
Shakes, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
You know what happens is that you wear your heart on your sleeve, and so Giants fans know you're up to something.
I don't know how to answer that other than I have old school philosophies, and here you know what I will tell you, Anita? Let me address this, because there are people out there who just think that automatically, hey, Tino's going up for an offensive line every single year, first round. And yes, I do believe you have to build that brick wall. But we've talked about the four franchise positions. We've talked about that. The Giants are in good shape there. They've got the quarterback. They've got some corners. They could use some depth. They've got a left tackle who's playing okay. Will Beattie had a good year. Okay. And we think they got a premier pass rusher in JPP. So, you know, I don't have to deal with those four franchise positions. So my old school philosophy says push that aside, and now what do? You go to the trenches. Let me go back here a minute. Last year, top guy on my board for them was Zach Martin. The year before it was DJ Fluker, who's had a bit of a rough start with the Chargers, a little bit injured, but nonetheless still a top-notch prospect. Mm-hmm. The year before that, Doug Martin was the guy who I thought was the best fit for the Giants. They wound up with David Wilson. So there was a running back there who, by the way, I'm not usually high on taking running backs in the first round, but I thought Doug Martin was going to be the best fit for them. Okay? Some years ago, I had Akeem Nicks. I got that one smack on the top of the pin. I nailed that one. So I'm not always just going to go offensive line and dismiss everybody else. So I feel I have to defend myself just a little bit. Okay?
I don't think you had to defend yourself.
And by the way,
Shakes
too,
was just trying to give you a hard time.
You know, that one year I wanted them to trade up and get Rolando McClain. What I didn't know is that he had so much off-the-field baggage and he had a lot of things going on in his head. Terrific talent. Great skill set. Turns out, you know, he's a little bit off the beaten path, and his whole career goes in the toilet until he resuscitates it with the Cowboys last season.
Right.
And now, apparently, as according to some reports,
he's still a free agent, right?
Agreed this morning, I believe, to go back to the Cowboys after visiting with the Patriots yesterday. Terrific player. So he was another guy that, you know, years ago, I wanted the Giants to move up in the first round and get Rolando McClain. So I'm not all offensive line all the time. That's all I'm saying.
So you're back on tomorrow, right?
I'm back on tomorrow solo.
Solo. So what does that mean?
Break out the Excedrin.
And also keep Paul some company. So make sure you call into the show tomorrow, high noon. And then Friday, is it?
We can't like bring you in like on a computer screen or something.
No.
What do they call that? I don't know.
No, I'm actually going to be down in Baltimore tomorrow.
Yes.
But Friday. Are you in Friday?
No,
or is
I'm
it,
not in Friday.
So I believe it would be Lance and John.
Probably,
right?
Yeah. I got one more day, and then you folks will be rid of me for a while.
Okay.
Until next week.
All right. Thank you for all the calls and all the tweets, and Roy Cummings, of course, joining us to give us the update. I guess the review on Jameis Winston's pro day. It will be interesting to see what happens in this year's NFL draft. So everybody, have a fantastic afternoon, and Polly will be back with you tomorrow. High noon Eastern time right here on Giants.com.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Well, getting up caught. Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, sir.